Welcome to Brandon Hall Group's HCMX Radio, the only podcast in the HCM arena that weaves current market research, HR technology, and industry leaders into each episode. Brandon Hall Group is a research, analyst, and advisory firm that provides strategic insights for executives and practitioners that are responsible for learning, talent, growth, and business results within their organizations. Our focus is on ensuring continuous business performance. Our research practice areas include learning and development, talent management, leadership development, talent acquisition, HR, and workforce management. Our HCMX radio host is Rachel Cook, Chief Operating Officer and HCM Analyst at Brandon Hall Group.
Hi, thank you for listening in. This is Rachel Cook. I'm the COO and the host of Brandon Hall Group's HCMX radio podcast. I'm so excited to have with me today joining Bonnie St. John. Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm great, Rachel. Always love collaborating with Brandon Hall Group.
Thank you. And we've done so much together. And those of you that are familiar with Bonnie is a remarkable leader, author. She's a winter Paralympic competition skier. And she's done so much over her lifetime with inspiring others and leadership and resilience and reaching their best. And we've had a great opportunity to partner together on initiatives around advancing women in leadership and most recently advancing women in technology leadership. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and some of the great things that's happening with Bonnie and her team.
Great.
Bonnie, do you want to offer a little bit more flavor or context to your background other than what I had just mentioned? And I could go on and on and on, but why don't you tell us?
I think what's interesting and relevant to what we're going to talk about is that I've been able to break through a lot of barriers. I had my right leg amputated when I was 5 years old, but as you mentioned, went on to become an international ski medalist. I was the second fastest woman in the world on one leg in ski racing. And I'm African-American. So being in skiing is a breakthrough right there. So I, you know, went into a community with a lot of people who didn't look like me and thrived. I've worked in the White House. I've worked on Wall Street. I've been able to be in a lot of competitive environments around the world. I was a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford. I was at Harvard. So I've been in competitive academic environments, competitive sports environments. I worked on the White House economic team, political, business. So I've seen what world-class competition looks like from many different sides. And now, you know, that I work I'm the chief executive officer of Blue Circle Leadership, and we do leadership programs for women, a lot of specialty programs for women, so for women in tech, for multicultural women, for, you know, all kinds of women, so LGBT, people with disabilities, you know, all varieties of women, and a lot of work on resilience as well. So bringing who I am, you know, to our consulting, and our team develops programs that really help other people to make breakthroughs in whatever their environment looks like.
And you've, you know, let's talk a little bit about can you tell us what has contributed to your success? Because you mentioned you had overcome a lot and you were, I think, in certain environments where you were different. So how did you make that to your advantage?
That's a great question. You know, there's so many different ways to answer that. I'll tell you, I was having a graduation from one of our leadership programs, and I had asked an alum to speak. And I think, you know, it's funny, because normally I think I'm pretty careful about vetting what people are going to say. And in this case, I asked her to speak. She got up in front of the group, and I didn't know what she was going to say. And she said, Bonnie, there was a moment in the course, and it's an 8-month virtual course, you know, so we have discussions every month. So she said, there was a moment in the course, I think it was like month 3 or something. And she said, I was explaining something very difficult that had happened to me at work in my career because I'm a Black woman. And I expected to get a pat on the head, you know, and a hug and sympathy. And you didn't give me any. she's saying this at graduation in front of all the executives at her company. And she said, that was the moment that everything changed for me, because you just said, so what are we going to do next? You know, it wasn't about, oh, poor you, you're the victim, you know, they shouldn't treat you that way, that's not fair. It was, so what are you going to do next? And I think when you ask what has contributed to my success, I think that's a big part of it is, I'm a Black woman with one leg, and we had no money growing up. I didn't sit around thinking, what can I not do? I thought about, what can I do? Okay, here's a problem. What can I do? Here's a problem. What can I do? And that's how I help the people in our programs, is we look at research, we look at data, we look at best practices, we look at sponsorship and advocacy, and okay, yeah, you got some challenges as women, as, you know, gender, as whatever your differences are. Women in tech got big barriers, huge barriers. But what are you going to do about it? Does that answer your question?
Yes, and I, you know, there's something that I took away that you speak a lot about is the resilience piece. So it's not about reaching the normal, but it's what happens afterwards, and it's about expanding further beyond your potential, or reaching your fullest potential.
As you know, one of the stories I'm most famous for telling is being at the Olympics, and I was in the slalom race. I was in first place after the first run, but in the second run, I fell. But I got back up, got over the finish line, and still won the bronze medal. And what I realized, though, is the woman who won the gold in that race, I beat her in the first run. When nothing went wrong, I was the faster skier. She also fell in the second run. I fell in the second run, so did she. So how did she beat me? She just beat me by being the quicker getter-upper. So, yeah, resilience has been a real watchword in my life, too, and sharing that with other people, that it's not about the obstacles we face. It's about how fast we get up.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about some of the highlights that you had taken away from the session that you facilitated at our conference in January, our HCM Excellence Conference. You led a discussion around enabling inclusion and diversity to boost the business. We had representatives from HCL Technologies and GSK. So tell us a little bit about what were the things that you learned from them?
You know, I have to say, I have been to the HCM Excellence Conference that you hold every January, and I've been, how many times now? 4 times? And it's just an amazing conference. There's so many great speakers and great sessions. But I really enjoyed being able to moderate the panel for the Enabling Inclusion and Diversity topic. And what I loved about it was that it was so global. We had Anuradha from India talking about HCL Technologies and their program. There's the measurable strides they're making in advancing women in leadership in India, in a challenging context. And then EK from GSK was talking about their program for the global advancement of Asian leaders, and that in an European-owned company, the advancement of Asians often doesn't happen for unconscious bias reasons, you know, that the cultures are different and the way people speak up is different. And just talking about how they created breakthroughs in that area. So I loved that it was such an international discussion. Sometimes in the U.S., the D&I discussion becomes so steeped in the history of the U.S., like civil rights, you know, and I'm Black. I care about civil rights. I'm not saying I don't. But I think when you expand the discussion to the global issues of unconscious bias of women advancing in an Indian company or Asians advancing in a European company, you know, it just puts the whole idea of unconscious bias, it's a business issue. And that was the focus of the session, was really, how is this affecting the business? How is this strengthening the business? And I just really enjoyed that perspective. I think when we all get on that page about, we're doing this because it's important to the business, we need all the talent we can get, we don't need to be filtering talent or suppressing talent, how do we do that? I think we all win when that's the perspective.
Right, and it was interesting because they had two different perspectives in how they were affected by diversity issues or biases. So new is coming back to our summit in May, May 1st and 2nd, our Women in Leadership Summit, and she's going to be sharing further around their framework for metrics and measure and how they measured the success, which is critical. We're gonna also have a sneak preview on our webinar on April 4th. We'll share elements of our business builder and scorecard and how to help people think through it and get started. And we've learned so much through last year, I think, when we started the research around advancing women in tech leadership and the different perceptions that we saw from men and women and how they perceived what are some of the challenges and that are limiting women from advancing and the methods that are needed. What did you find so compelling about the study and also in the process of building this toolkit?
Well, I mean, as you just sort of alluded to a little bit, one of the most dramatic findings, among many dramatic findings, but one of the dramatic findings was the real disconnect between how men saw the challenges for women advancing in leadership in tech versus how women saw them. And one way to characterize that is to say that the men, when you ask them why aren't there more women in leadership in tech, said things that were all internal to women. So, well, they're not as ambitious. They really want work-life balance. They want to stay home with their kids. They just don't know enough about technology. You know, there's not enough technology expertise. And, you know, all things that were located inside women. And the women were citing things like, you know, there aren't enough sponsors. There aren't people advocating for us. There's bullying and harassment, you know, and there's, you know, so they were pointing to a lot of systemic issues. Another way to look at that is not just sort of the internal versus external, but also you could say the men might have been answering a slightly different question. The men might have been answering the question is, why aren't there more women in tech? And, you know, you could understand how they could conflate those two issues, because they might think, well, if there were just more women in tech, we'd have more women in leadership. So there just aren't very many women here, because not as many women go to tech training or have tech degrees. Not as many women, you know, want to work this hard. Whereas the women were maybe answering the question of, we're already here in tech. We are working hard. We have the tech, you know, we have the ambition. We have the skills. We're answering the question of, why don't we get ahead? Not just, why aren't there more women here? So that was fascinating. And I think part of making progress on this subject is going to be showing this data and getting people to come together and see the issue in the same way so that you can address the problem. And I think that's why the toolkit is so fascinating, because we did, you know, you and I did focus groups with a number of different companies, and we thought, well, we'll provide some services to help with this, but what they wanted was, don't just fix the problem for us, help us to be the champions, help us to advocate for the kind of change we need to see. So the toolkit that we've launched does that. It gives people the equipment to give the speeches about it, to do posts on social media, to provide infographics that summarize succinctly the way the problems are, and then the business builder, which we're going to talk more about, and the and then best practices for setting up women's technology resource groups for overcoming objections. You know, and you get a lot of pushback. That was one of the things we saw in the data too, is you get pushback. Why are we doing things for women? Shouldn't we just be running a business? So how to handle those kinds of objections using data. How to engage men. There was one number I saw recently. I think I sent it to you, didn't I? Is that companies that involve men, 90% of them see change when you're involving men in advocating for women's leadership, and only 30-something percent of companies that don't involve men in advocating for women's leadership see change. So it's a dramatic difference. So we're putting together tools to help leaders in businesses be champions. And that's what people asked us for, Rachel. So that's what we did, is provide that.
Yeah, another interesting point too, and I've had some questions asked most recently, was did we see any differences from tech functions in a tech organization or a non-tech organization? And what we did see, there were some similarities or some differences, but not that much at times. But one of the most prevalent that came out was the bullying by the opposite sex. And in those that were women in tech roles in tech companies rather than women in tech roles in non-tech companies. So, you know, that's something that I think we need to bring more awareness and drive that conversation, and the data does this. This really does
Rachel,
help.
And we saw that one of the reasons we put that in the big survey that we did was because when we did qualitative interviews before designing the big survey, we heard it over and over again. One woman said, I'm in the C-suite in Silicon Valley, and I know 30 other women who are in senior roles in Silicon Valley, and all of them have been harassed and even assaulted. And mm-hmm. so we know it is a big problem in the tech industry. So women who work in tech and non-tech firms, like you could be working in tech and healthcare or finance, it is less, it's like a continuum. You know, people who are not working in tech at all maybe experience less bullying and harassment. People who are working in tech and non-tech companies a little bit more, but the rates are shockingly high for women in tech companies. You know,
and the only way
I haven't told you this, but I posted a graphic of some of the data about this, about the bullying and harassment in tech firms, mm-hmm. and I got mm-hmm. so bullied on social media for posting
it. Did you really?
Well, and what we do is we moderate that, so we just hide the comments that are really inappropriate. But but it was just shocking to me that it was like an invitation for people to bash, you know, and that people were saying things. This is on Facebook, you know, it's not LinkedIn, but on Facebook, people were saying things like, you know, well, women deserve it, you know, or just really nasty responses. So
that's
just
terrible.
I don't know why that. It's definitely something.
Well, you remember when we did the survey last year and I showed some of the responses when we sent out the survey originally to our community, and some of the men responded, and if I recall, one was like, "Are you serious? Is this really for me?" Another one was like, "Oh, it sounds like a great time," or just inappropriate responses,
inappropriate things. And I think
they're professional
women. Men and women in business, we need to work together to push back against this kind of behavior and attitude. It's just really damaging for the culture in companies.
I agree. I totally agree. So this is what our kit is intended to do, is to really help you, empower you to and equip you with the tools and resources to get you started or to help you along the way, and to provide that the insight and the data to support your position and to elevate the discussions and to make a change. And so we'll be sharing a little bit more information during our upcoming webinar on April 4th. We have Meredith Lubitz, who's the VP of Talent from Dow Jones, joining us as well. And we're going to talk in a little bit more detail about building the business builder, which is one of the components of the toolkit. Following the webinar, we're really excited. We're just a few months away from our Women in Leadership Summit, our third year that we're hosting it, and Bonnie has been with me along the way, so we're really proud of what we're building and the community that has really supported us and that is very passionate about making a change. Our mission, A Way Forward, is about improving gender diversity in the workplace and making the workplace a better place by doing so.
I just want to say the webinar on April 4th, I really want to encourage people to come to that because it's a real sneak preview of the toolkit. If you're wondering, should I get it for my company or not, you know, you can really dig into some of the meat of it and get a taste of, you know, how do I do this? If we know that tech is the future. If women aren't leading in tech, you know, where will we be leading? And so if you care about this and you want to be an advocate for change, and it's about making businesses more competitive, then, you know, you're going to get some really practical tools in this webinar on April 4th for how to do that. So I think that's really exciting that that Brandon Hall is providing this. So I think it's great. I'm sorry, were you going to say more about the summit?
Yes, and now that you mentioned the webinar, I believe we are also, for those of you that are investing in your time and meeting and spending the time to join us to learn more and to be part of this, we're offering a discount to to purchase the toolkit and also to attend our upcoming summit. So there's a lot of, we're trying to give back to you as you're giving back to us, and we hope that you continue to join us along this journey.
And great synergy. It's like you're saying there's a real synergy there, which there is. So terrific. So yeah, I'm excited about the summit in May, that conference. I go to a lot of women's leadership conferences, and I have to say, your conference in May is nice because it's so intimate, and there's a lot of high-level people who attend. You know, it's not one of these conferences with 10,000 people and lots of anonymous sessions. You know, this is, I love this one, and we are going to get to. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and everybody has an opportunity to share, whether you're a speaker or you're in the audience. We try to make it as engaging and interactive as possible. So
it's almost more like being in a think tank than just being at a conference. Yeah, no, it's a really neat feel. I'm excited because there's many sessions that are interesting, but I'm going to get to help moderate the one on advancing women in technology based on the research we've been collaborating on. And we're going to have Jennifer Scandoriato, I hope I'm saying that right. And we're going to have also Denise Reed Lamoureux. Jennifer's from DTCC, and Denise is from Atos. And we're going to be able to talk about how to be a champion for women in tech. And it's going to make such a difference for companies as their tech experts need to rise from just being delivering, cost center items to really delivering the strategy of the business. You know, as tech needs to rise to lead companies, it's important that they are embracing talent and that they're embracing competitive ways of doing things. You know, if they're doing things, if they're tolerating a lot of bullying and harassment, That's not how to be strategic and how to lead a company. So I just think it's going to be a really powerful discussion as everybody digs in on how do we start to move the needle as we become champions, as we engage men, as we build support networks, all of the things that the toolkit helps you do.
And we'll be also, in all of our sessions, we're introducing activities, so we are going to be engaging you and the attendees to really think through, like we have topics on coaching and mentoring, on bridging the gap across generations in the workplace, building a framework for ROI, the technology leadership session, and the session around culture and what it means to be inclusive. So all of these are really driving what it takes to make the overall change happen, and then narrowing in on very specific areas that are beneficial to improving gender diversity in the workplace. We're going to be ending on the last day in the last session with an action plan to help you walk away with a plan and to take all the things that you learned and the things that you need to prioritize around and have a plan that you will be able to take back to your organization. So it's not just an opportunity. It's an opportunity to network and to learn and to share, but also to help you build that plan and walk away with something tangible.
Yeah, I think if you haven't been to this conference before, you'll really enjoy it. And if you've been before, you know what I'm talking about. looking forward to seeing you all there.
And can't wait to see you again soon, Bonnie. Thank you for joining me today. We could probably go on and on and on, but I don't know how much more we can share today without diving further deep into any one of these areas, which we probably could do so, but for the timing of what we have. Thanks so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Bonnie, is there anything else that you'd like to share?
You know what? I didn't mention that I'm going to get to be with Gwyneth Paltrow on the day after International Women's Day, and I'm excited about that, talking about our micro-resilience work at her Goop conference in New York. And the other thing I'm really excited about is that Bank of America is being named as one of the best companies for multicultural women to work at. And in their award is going to be featured one of the programs that we work with them on in terms of multicultural women and advancing multicultural women and getting measurable results, really moving the needle on the ability of multicultural women to advance into leadership. So we're working on so many exciting things, Rachel.
Lots of exciting stuff. We also have Bank of America, Julie Harris, the managing director, that's going to be kicking off the first day at the summit on May 1st around their great initiatives and focus and commitment on gender equality. So they have one of theirs is a Power of 10 and the work that they've done with Bonnie. So there's so much they're going to be sharing, and we encourage you.
Bank of America has just won the Catalyst Award, too, which is really exciting. And it was funny because for a long time they couldn't win it because they were told, you're already good at it. We give out this award for most improved player, and you are already good, so you can't show improvement. And they finally, I don't know how they finally did it, but it was the right thing to do for the Catalyst to give them the award because they were leaders in the industry. And just, you know, they've been really good at working on gender advancement and being focused on that and making it a priority. So very excited to have them kicking off the conference.
Yes, they have a lot to be proud of, and they have been great friends to you and to us and partners. So we're just so thrilled to see how they've progressed and are continuing to do such great things in this important critical area.
Great. All right. See you soon.
See you soon, Bonnie. It's been wonderful.
Take care.
And take care. And for those of you listening in, if you have any questions or would like to learn more about our summit or about anything that we discussed today, please visit our website at www.brandonhall.com or contact me at will@brandonhall.com. Thank you again. Thanks, Bonnie. Take care, everybody.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.